And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 242.
242.
I'm Saz Lindenstein.
I'm Samantha Rund.
And while this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. We have talked about taking a little variant direction in this. Still funny because we're hilarious, but started talking about really focusing on the creativity and the creative process. It's fields that we are experts in.
Yeah.
We have a combined 90 plus years or so of creativity. I don't know.
I was going to say 80, million, but 90, that sounds possible.
Something. Yeah. our conversations often veer into the creative. And yeah. So it might just be a good opportunity for people to find us more if we focus on that. So today we kind of discuss how to be creative when life is lifing. And, you know, you're just too busy. And what do you do? And recent things that we've been through in trying to be creative while life has been lifing us hard. So we chat about that. Life to me right in the kisser.
I don't know. That sounds like that could either been really good or really bad.
Well, I think anytime you say life is really life hard. Too, people are like, oh yeah. Nobody's thinking like, oh yeah, it's been great. Things are going great. Just been lifing, adulting. It's like saying that I have just been adulting, and nobody says, oh great, you've been having fun. No. Life and adulting is not fun.
It is, though.
If that's you think true.
About the alternative, right?
Yeah.
You know, right? Like it could be.
Because like, it'd be.
Because at least we're able to, you know.
Right.
You know.
Always look on the bright. Who's that? Name the tune. Oh, it's Monty Python. Always look on the bright side of life, right?
Oh.
Is that Monty Python?
Could be. I don't know. All I know is nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition, and nobody's going to expect some of the jokes in this episode, right?
That's Monty Python, right?
Yeah.
No one expects. Okay, because I don't know Monty Python that well.
I don't either, but that's one of the ones that one of the lines I remember.
I have too much melanin to know Monty Python really well. That's what I've said.
I just feel like looking behind you at your setup, that to be a false statement. I don't think you having melanin would prevent you from things.
Monty Python isn't nerdy.
Oh, I was just thinking like a black white thing. And I was thinking, well, looking behind you, I didn't think anything was especially black.
Well, okay. What?
What? Well, is there anything there that's like specifically like more for black people than white people?
This is the black Spider-Man.
Oh, well, I couldn't see him. He was so black.
Okay, R2-D2 is hella black.
Okay, well, I haven't watched enough of it to know, but I'm just saying, I didn't think that you were exclusively black. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not exclusively.
Clearly I'm the half right now. Clearly I'm the half, and not
exclusively, but
I wasn't understanding your
I don't know why I went to nerd, but I was a melanin Joe. But I will say I don't have any black friends who love Monty Python.
I am not your friend now.
You didn't. You just said you didn't know Monty Python.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. You know what? I watched Monty Python when I was growing up. I haven't seen it in a very long time, but I did see like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Probably. Like
yeah, two. I've seen it, and I quote, "Bring out your dead." I'll do that thing, but not like
that ties into this episode because we also talk about Halloween costumes, and like our view on saying things about the dead or undead.
Yeah. Beware. Beware this episode.
Ooh. I am completely going to spray things now with holy water. Right. I need to get some holy water. Just have that sound bite of I need to get some. We've had a couple of like sound bites, like just on their own. Probably don't sound so great. Just remember it ended with holy water.
Holy water.
Yeah.
Holy water. All right. All right. So yeah, a nice creative episode that also discusses Halloween. So sit back, relax, open your hearts, open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 242 of Black and a Half.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half.
Black and a Half. I think it is amazing how little cameras can be now.
Oh, yeah.
Like with really good quality.
I mean, it's great if you're purposes, but my mind just goes to like immediately like Airbnbs and stuff. I'm like, oh man, yeah.
You're very untrusting of life.
No, I'm not. I'm just like a well-informed woman.
No, I just watch a lot of Dateline. I'm not
very untrusting of life. I'm just also kind of realistic about like, you know, there are a lot of creeps out there. And yeah,
creeps are gonna creep.
Like that is actually like a really big issue, though. Do you know what I mean? Did you know that
Airbnb's video?
Yeah, recording? That's like a huge issue.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's why, because I saw it was like it popped up in. I think I heard something about it like years ago, but I'd gone to an Airbnb like twice anyway, so it's not like I was going all the time anyway. But I'd heard about it after, and then. It wound up popping up in my YouTube feed at some point, and I just watched this whole thing on it.
I guess I wonder, is it a huge issue, or is it?
Okay, yeah, like how huge is
like the percentage issue? Wise? Is it like one in a one in 100,000 or?
I like, wonder which the YouTube video is.
Because they'll say like things that are rampant. Like, I think we've talked about how we as humans tend to look at percentages really weird. Like, we think that we are going to be the one to, oh, there's a one in a million chance of it. Oh, it's going to happen to me, both good and bad. Like, yeah. We don't just take the middle. Like, oh, most likely.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's. I don't know how, when I said it's a huge issue, I don't know how often it happens, but like it was covered by like CNN and the New York Times and stuff. Cause I know I watch it by like a credible source, but yeah. Then they also had somebody who would like, they were like testing it out. It might've been a related video after I saw the first one. And then somebody else was like testing out and they hid like, I think like 10 cameras in the room or something and had somebody who was actively looking for them. And like, I don't think anybody was able to find all of the hidden cameras.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah. That's funny.
Even if they're looking for them, like they would have them in like mirrors. There's supposed to be a test that you can do too. Or no, that's a, I don't know if that's a camera or two-way mirror. I don't know. They have one where you can test if like your mirror is actually a mirror or not.
Yeah. And I've heard of that. I don't know what it is, but I know there is
clocks
one.
And all sorts of stuff. And,
because you can buy stuff on Temu, right? Like Temu has a bunch of like little, like I have one that's a pen. I think it's a pen recorder. Uh-huh. I remember on the back of comics, they used to have like buy this spy camera for $20. But then it was even still kind of huge, and now it's now you wouldn't know. Like I mean, it barely has to fit a mini SD card.
Huh. Oh, I put a lot of H on that. Huh. Well, it just brings certain questions into mind, like what to look for the next time I go to an Airbnb or really anywhere. And also, like, did you know there are cameras also like in our laptops and on our phones? And like, you should just assume that you're being recorded all of the time. Yeah, obviously, I was being sarcastic about that. We're recording knowingly on our cameras. But like, I think it's like people should just kind of assume they're being recorded all the time, except for when you're at home and you think you're actually having privacy, right? Then it's like,
yeah. I will say sometimes that would make me a little. I have the like PlayStation Eye, which was like a like the Kinect, but like. So it, you know, you could use it for games.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes like, huh, I guess you can, someone could hack into that potentially. I've heard of things with the Echo show. I don't know if it's true. This is, so don't, no, Amazon, don't come for me. Of people, like somebody hearing someone on the other side of their Echo, like what? Like that it got like that there's a potential listening of stuff, because it does say that they're doing it for purposes of understanding language, right? That they're using it, the feedback from when you ask something, what it does. So I could see, like, I could definitely see why someone would make like a Twilight Zone or Outer Limits episode, right? Where it's about how they are they're secretly everywhere and you didn't realize it.
I mean, you know, just the other day I saw like an animatronic bird that just was like blinking at head. No, I don't. But
That's a conspiracy, right?
Is whenever I go check it, huh?
You know, that's a conspiracy theory, right?
Oh, is it?
That birds aren't real.
Oh, what?
Yeah. They feel like, no, there's no birds. They're all like little drones, little robots. What? Yeah. There's people that.
They're not on the Flat Earth website. Like, I just.
In that vein. But there's this whole birds aren't real thing.
They also don't eat chicken then?
I don't get it.
But here's the thing, in terms of not knowing where the hidden cameras are, especially if you're going to check into your Airbnb. Oh yeah, Airbnb, don't come for us. Or you're going to wherever, any new spot where you think, or even back to your home after a long vacation. What you do is when you come in, you're either two things. One, just as boring as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. Like just don't do anything, and they'll assume that the camera's not working or it's broken, right? Yeah. Or else too, just be like so disgusting that nobody would ever want to tune in. Just
that might work.
That might have the opposite effect. It'd probably be safer to just be boring.
There's somebody for everything.
Some people are like, yay, gross.
Disgusting.
Like, boring. Nobody has the attention span for that anymore.
No. Oh, what am I going to read? Oh. So anyway, we were talking about the difficulty of being creative when life is there. Mm-hmm. Life is happening. Life. How both of us, mm-hmm, the last several years have been very busy.
Yeah.
I think you know, are there things that you are doing right now, how do you keep it, because I think you have a little more insulation than I do for it. Like my kids are school age, so
I have to get
out there, right?
I'm gonna fix my volume. Also, I just looked at myself right now, and now I'm like, oh, that's why you asked if I was okay the second that you saw me on camera. I am tired. I just like saw my face when I was
You're
like
a parent. Oh. That's tired is a state of just constant.
I think I was fighting some sort of cold, honestly. So, but also what you said, that is also true. Yeah. So okay, how do I deal with it?
Well, are there things that you are doing to keep yourself like
I feel like I go crazy
kind of like if I'm not doing something creative, or like, I don't know, crazy, but maybe like sad or like, something's missing. I need to do what have you done
times? Okay, I promise I will answer that. I also love how this is timed, just because I'm going back to something else that I saw just about like what we know, how like AI is making things more and more efficient for people, and how creatively people can choose to be lazier and still get some pretty awesome results. So I think
that
sort of desire that we have, inherent desire to be creative, while our life is lifing, and then on top of it with the AI stuff where you can actually, you know, where there's more ways in which life is not really set up for you to get to be creative. for a lot of people nowadays. So I was just thinking about how that's actually compounding it in a way. Excuse me. Or can compound in a way. Okay. I think one of the things is when I was at like the busiest and things were the hardest in this huge transition that happened a couple of years ago, I just didn't even have the capacity to want to be creative. Like there was no extra spoons. There's no extra energy for it. So when I first felt like the desire for it again, it made me feel really happy because then I knew it was like, like getting right.
You're getting better. Like you're healing in some
exactly.
way.
Exactly. It's like I have a little bit extra time, a little more spoons and all that to be creative again. So that's exciting. And then I think I've, for the most part, I'm just so focused on my kid and like how much I love being her mom that, and knowing that, oh, I'll probably start crying. Like knowing like how quickly I will, like how quickly they grow up and how precious mm-hmm. the time is, that it's just like, I'll get a chance to be more creative again. But like right now, like I need to soak up this time as much as possible. And in addition to like the fact of the practicality of it, like there's no freaking way. I was actually just saying, okay, it's a bit all over the place, but you're with me, right? Like somebody actually, it was so sweet. Cause you know, I do post some of these funny videos sometimes in home tours. And I have to say that like getting to be creative, making videos and editing and or coming up with concepts to film, that really helps. That helps feed my soul. Like it helps make me feel like it does. I'm like, I'm being creative again. I'm using my skills. And even if it's not like the movies I wanted to be doing, it's still something, you know, but somebody said, actually a lender that I was talking to, she was like, I saw you pop up on the TV. I thought, or at least it was somebody who really looked like you. Were you on Saturday Night Live? And I was like, oh, that's the kindest thing ever. Like from your lips to God's ears. And then I was talking about it with a really good friend of mine and realizing that like right now, I totally wouldn't give up my time for my kid with my kid right now to do that. Not like they're asking me. They're not asking. Right. Like a couple of years ago, 1,000,000% I'd be there. And then who knows, maybe like when she's older, if for some reason. So I suppose the biggest takeaways from all that I've said so far is a ton of acceptance about like what season of life I'm in right now, being super clear on what my priorities are, and then knowing that like I'll always be a creative, and I'm choosing to do it in ways that support my life priorities and not in the fashion where I was just like giving up so much of life, you know?
Now, are you able to be creative with you? When I say be creative, is there a certain level of creativity that you jump to in your head? Like, are you thinking, oh, a stage. Like I need a stage to be creative. I need a stage. I think for a while I did require more of an element of a big thing happening mm-hmm. for me to consider it creative. And I think like, you know, in the last 6 months, just with my wife's health and being home, and I found playing the guitar an instrument being a creative outlet, that I was surprised how satisfying that would be, despite not having the audience for the first time. Like I don't have an audience and I
go live so we can watch it. Do it next time on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I just learning something, you know, learning and I still don't know how, like when I doing a cover song, essentially, I'm just playing in my house. It's not like I'm covering it really, but right. It's not my words. So I don't know as much as a song like, oh, I'm connecting. Oh, I love this song. Oh, I'm really feeling the song right now. When I'm trying to learn it, I'm more like focused on, okay, how do I get from the G to mm-hmm. the E minor here? Like, I'm not really thinking about, I'm not feeling the song. Mm-hmm. And I could see how people could feel a song if they wrote it. But I don't know that I can feel a song listening to it, but I don't know if I feel a song doing someone else's work. I just don't know if I do.
I would suspect, I don't know, but I would suspect that when you're further along in your skills,
yeah,
that then you would start to connect to it sooner, because right now, like, it's kind of like padding the head, yeah, right, like, kind of thing. Like, there's so much going on, there's no space.
Yeah.
You feel that stuff. And then, you know, I think in time you'll just be quicker at like getting it all.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Cause I feel, it does feel a little, the emotions I get are from, I get partly the process of going, oh, I can do that now. Or rather than, I mean, result, I hate being results driven. You know, I'm not, I don't want to think of it as a result, but just sounding a little better each day is satisfying. Even if I'm not there yet with that song, but it is hard to, I don't know why I haven't felt like that much emotion playing something, even when I'm like, oh, I think I can play this pretty smoothly now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, by the time I've played it, I can play it smoothly. I have played that song so much.
Right.
That it's almost like in a play, how it kind of starts going into, oh, I'm now in a mode. I'm just in, right, that character mode, and I'm like a separate person now.
Well, I think that, could change if you did have an audience, because it'd be fresh for them and you'd be expressing it to them. You know,
maybe, yeah,
you're on your own with that, but also like it could also potentially be, I don't know. I don't know how much you're like feeling it when you're like, if you're doing stuff that you wrote yourself or just singing stuff when you're not doing this. Cause I was, it could also be just like, how many spoons do you have right now?
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, I haven't written anything with emotion yet. It's just funny. I've written funny things.
Funnies and humors.
Yeah. But not like, you know, I'm not going to like, here's a moment of human connection.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking forward to hearing all of these songs.
Just
saying. That's gonna, yeah, be fun. Yeah.
But that's just a small, I mean, that's just the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, I would crave I think most of it started like pandemic has really got me isolated from creativity for probably a lot of people. But like, I started doing things with my kids a little bit, or I did real estate commercials just to try to get, I got to do something.
Right. Yeah. I feel you. Like
Do you do improv with your kid?
Isn't that what it is? Just being a mom.
But like I taught them, I don't know if they remember it now, but I taught them the seven part story structure.
Oh, fun.
And I would do, like, I would say, you know, once upon a time, there was and have them fill it in, right? And so we would do that, and it was nonsensical. But like, for me, that helps fill a little, that's another little creative thing, or definitely music has hit a lot more with the kids, I guess.
Yeah. I do feel that also music has been helping me when I feel like, if it feels like, oh, I miss that part of me that just, I mean, I do and I don't, I don't know if that makes sense. Like I miss making the art. I miss doing the stuff, but I don't miss the pressure I put on myself. I don't miss the feeling of like, it has to be in order to like really live. It's like, no, like I'm really living, and this is something that I also love to do, you know? Like, but I do find that like just singing along to something or like dancing around the house, like It's like, oh, I feel like myself. It's like I'm back on the stage again. You know, I know we talked about this a while back when I was talking about like fashion and stuff, but I would like to like express creativity through fashion more, or like just be more fashionable and just like my day to day, you know, or like throw on some wigs or do my makeup. I'm not really big into makeup as throw much. On a wig. You know, just like switch up my hairdo or, you know, just whatever, like just play with that creativity with my style. But I almost always am just going to dress for comfort and like practicality. Like, and then also it's like, I don't want it to be something where if my kid runs and like, you know, gets it dirty, she like runs and puts her, decides to use me as a napkin instead of an actual napkin, which she loves to do. Like, I don't want to be like, my thing got ruined. Don't touch me, mother.
I distinctly remember so often how much I thought, like, I can't not do theater. I would not live.
Yeah.
I would not. Or like, I thought people who didn't come to see theater, at very least, their lives must just be a lot less. Like they must have an emptiness that they don't know how to fill, because live theater is the most incredible thing there is.
Oh man. I remember before I moved to it was like right after grad school or something. And it was still like a few years before I was off to LA, but I was still doing theater and doing all the stuff here. And I remember I went to a friend's, my sister invited me to go to a coworker's home with her. I doubt that they're listening, so it's probably fine to say this was a long time ago. And their home was beautiful. But I remember going in there and seeing their house and the water by it, and they probably had jet skis or something like else. And I was thinking, this is terrible. Shackled to this home? I need to go be free and do movies. Like, I don't want this. It's like, this is horrible. And look at how happy they are. Like, I just had a totally different mindset. And now I'm like, yeah, like everything's all about home.
Yeah.
And just like you build your creativity around it. And also, I don't know, this, I keep trying to not talk as much, so I give you a chance to talk.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, gathering thoughts. So when before you were saying, we were both saying like how we felt like this pressure, like we had to make art or we were suffering and, you know, that kind of thing. And it was just not balanced for me. That's what it was. It wasn't balanced. And I think that underlying, there was also that feeling of it had to be the best. It had to be. Yes. I mean, cause I would enjoy like being, you like enjoy you're playing with the big ones. You're doing it to the best that you can. So there's that, but then there's also like the part of ego side of it too, or whatever. And, I'm just a little competitive. That's just, you know, that's okay. And, but then like how much of that is actually just tied in to our own human need for love and acceptance? And to get love and acceptance in our culture, you have to be the best, right? I mean, that's like the lie of it, or like all the movies growing up or this or that. Like how much of that was in my subconscious? How much did I actually think about it? Clearly, I'm philosophizing about this quite a bit. But I was watching a movie the other day and it occurred to me like some of these people, this is old news, right? But to me, it just like hit in a different way. Like some of these people that were at the epitome of their career or that I really looked up to, or it's like they were everything. They were smart. They were beautiful. They were talented. They had the it, whatever, all the covers, all the stuff. They had everything. And like, that's still not going to make you happy. Like the percentage of people who are happy, like it doesn't buy you happiness. So that extra pressure to feel like I can be happy when I've achieved X, Y, Z. I can be happy when blah, 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 blah. Or I can relax when blah, 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 blah. It's like, now you got to learn how to do that now. Cause all that extra stuff actually isn't going to help.
Right. But I mean, I think the studies say there's a certain amount that you actually can, money will make you happy.
Oh yeah.
Up until about 85,000.
Yeah. which I think the numbers could change for Seattle, like with the cost of living.
Right,
but yeah, 100%. Like once your basic needs are met and you don't have your amygdala firing off all the time because you're like food, shelter, basic needs, healthcare, you know, once you have that, you get that sense of ease, but then you don't need to keep on. Listen up, billionaire, share your money already for F Sleep. You heard it here first.
I lost my thought a little bit, but I had something on the tip of my tongue.
That's okay, because I will say something else.
Okay,
Go ahead. No, it's just to also just be clear, which you probably know, but for the listeners who don't know me as well, you do. Like, it's not to say that I was doing any of those things consciously thinking, I have to like win my Oscar so I'm worthy of love. Like, that's not at all how I felt. But I think like looking back at how unbalanced things were and the amount of pressure I was putting on myself, it was like I wasn't allowing myself to feel like I was successful or feel like satisfied with my efforts until I achieved that goal. So I wasn't really allowing myself to fully like enjoy life or be in a way.
Oh, that was it. I definitely felt, I remember telling somebody as a freshman, like, oh, well, if I'm going to do this, I got to be like the best at it. Because one, I had always heard as a black person that you're going to have to work harder.
Twice as hard to get half as hard.
Yeah. So that was just already in my head that that's what I had to do. So I'm like, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all in. Yep. I'm going to learn it. Yeah. Perfectionist, maybe, whatever. I just need, no, I have to be extra good to get something. And I think it's still like, this might not fit exactly into it, but I like sometimes the pursuit of being good, you'll miss some things that are like, so I've been taking vocal lessons lately. So getting voice lessons. And the other day I'm at this lesson and she has me doing this exercise, throwing it out. Right. Yeah. And had me sustain it. And then she goes, ooh, you got some vibrato there. And I go, what? Wait, wasn't that? I think I was just not holding the note right. And she's like, well, were you supporting it? I said, yeah. Like, that's vibrato. I'm like, for real? Because then I'm realizing every time I was singing at home and trying to sustain the song, and now I know it was vibrato. Mm-hmm. But I was like, if I felt the note wasn't staying completely steady, I screwed up and I would stop and go back. So I didn't even know I was doing something good and being so frustrated that I was not perfect or not. And I'm like, oh, so I was doing something. I've been doing something right for decades thinking that I was bad, that I couldn't do that. I'm like, oh, that's what it feels like to. That's vibrato? I thought it'd be a different thing. I don't know what I thought it was. But I was just kind of blown away. Like, oh, the last like few days I've been like, I can't believe I spent all this time thinking I couldn't hold a note. And that wasn't what it was. It's that my voice was hitting a vibrato. I thought it was just, oh, I can't hold the note and I don't know why.
Just so you know, we all want to hear you sing even more now. So
well, nobody does. No, nobody does.
Yeah. We will. Just
it maybe. Was a it was an ah sound, right? Like ah. Mm-hmm. I wish you feel comfortable singing.
More than the average person.
It is like the only thing I am scared of doing in public.
That's so lucky. There's so many things I wouldn't do in public.
Well, there's things I wouldn't do, but I'm like, I'm scared of. I mean, unreasonable things, right? I mean, it's the performance. I can get up on stage to do almost everything without nerves now.
That's amazing.
But yeah. Sing, I'm just absolutely terrified of. Like, I get tense. I get anxiety just thinking about, like,
which makes it
doing
so much-
an open mic, doing an open mic, a music open mic. Oh my God. Sounds horrible. Oh, I'd be terrified. Play and sing. Or just sing. Oh my God.
Musical improv group. I just wanted to do musical improv.
That's so hard. That is so, like, it is such a skill.
Maybe next year.
Well, I like funny songs because I can hide behind the comedy.
Yeah.
And I go like, oh, I'm not even trying to sound good. I'm just.
Well, I find it sometimes easier to sound better when I'm making fun of something, because that's the thing. It's like, I feel like, at least for me, and I would assume for, you know, you too, like some of my favorite singers, it's like the feeling of this like reckless abandon they have, where it's like they are 100%. It's almost like they're just one giant cell or something, like, you know, like this open channel of the universe or something. Yeah. Like, you just feel everything. And that only comes from this incredible ability to, like, it's like they relax everything, but they're so supported. So, like, you know, it's not like a beginner relaxation. Well, it's like a baby relaxation, really, like babies when. Like babies' voices, they're so powerful, but no, they're not going to go on pitch, but they're like completely unencumbered, you know? And I find it so much easier to do that when I'm just joking around than when it's like, I've got this song that I'm doing and I need to get that note, you know? So I could relate to that sense where you're saying you're like trying to get it perfect and you know. And I would love to be able to get to like, yeah, to that next level of just that like total reckless abandon when singing, not driving.
Like rock band, like doing like in a rock band kind of reckless, like,
I don't have the voice for a rock band, but.
A band is more reckless than like a musical, right?
Yeah. You know, like I said that once to my family a couple of years back. I was like, Ma, I think maybe I'm gonna audition for a band. And like, they just laughed at me. They thought it was so funny imagining me in a band. But are you? Yeah, actually, you know what?
Well, it kind of depends on the band, right? Like, I mean, maybe rock isn't your thing, but you could certainly do. I'm sure you could do blues, soul, kind of.
Yeah. You know.
I have said the other day, I was telling my teacher does. It's funny because my teacher, she used to be a kid stage kid. And so I was probably a teacher at the time that she was. But now she's the master. Right. I was telling her, I feel too articulate to sing sometimes. I was like, no, I did musical theater, so I learned I need to be able to articulate and get that point across. And so many good bands and singers we hear, like, oh, they're not mm-hmm. hitting their consonants well.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta be, huh?
You can do that. You could. Don't you love that? I just always, is this part of why we're friends? Cause I'm like, yeah, Silas, I believe in you. You could do that, but you could do that. Like, it's just like learning a dialect or something, right? Like you could do that.
Well, then you could do that.
Yeah. Eventually. I mean, like I'd need to practice. Right. Like, here's the thing I was thinking, like, really, I would, if I could, I mean, there's, it's like the spectrum of singers or something, right? Like I'd love to do, now I'm forgetting some of the others. But when you said rock, when you were saying rock band, I'm like, yeah, like I'd love to be able to do a rendition of like Welcome to the Jungle and like just really like scream one out on there. I don't know that I can. It would be fun. My neighbors would not be happy hearing me practice.
You can. Right? I mean, it's not going to sound like homeboy. Right?
No, no, not like, homeboy.
But well, because but that's that was what was so unique about him too.
Right. Oh, and that's yes, that's the other thing that I'd love to get to the point of being able to do. It's like having your unique sound.
Yeah, you know what? A few weeks ago, I was playing something. I was singing Fast Car, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought I like, oh, whoa, did I just hit my sound? Did it, was that like, I thought I touched on it for a second where it felt like it was myself singing rather than imitating. I'm like, oh, it was just like it was like 5 seconds, right? But I was like, oh, is that it? Mm-hmm. What would my rendition, what would my guitar teacher talks about, like, yeah, he's like, yeah, but you can do anything you want. And eventually, you know, maybe there'll be a Silas style of finger picking on a guitar. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy to even think about like that. Yeah. Here's how you should do it. Here's how the success. A lot of people have success with this, but if it works for you, just do it that way. This has become more about my guitar playing and less about finding creativity.
Be creative.
I'm trying to think of what I would do. I think what I do like about a guitar though is that it sits right there and I can sit down and just be creative with it.
Yeah.
But do you like, I don't know how sometimes to find space to do other things like write. I'm like, oh, especially with this little, you know, junky box that I got, this iPhone, where I'm like, oh, I could play solitaire though.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a balance, right? It's a balance of deep breath. That's it. It's just a balance. Like there's so, it's good to be alive and be a person who has a lot of interests, who wants to do a lot of things. And I think there was a point in time where I thought did we talk about this on a podcast? I don't remember. Like if I could clone myself to 20 of me, I don't want to, because that's a scary thought. Like people don't do clones, but the thing that would be cool is like, then I could do like all the different things that I want to do. Like I'd like report back to myself, like, hey, we got our degree in this. Hey, we're going to sing there. We're doing this. Like I could do all the things I wanted to do, but obviously that's.
But it still wouldn't be you because.
But it
would be your clone.
You know, it's a fantasy thing that I don't really think of really, but it's like the realization that there's not enough time to do every single thing, and to then instead just be glad that like I'm glad that I've like a joie de vivre, you know, like there's a lot of interest, and just kind of being a bit more realistic in a way what I get to do that it went more. So it's just coming back to that acceptance again, and I think mostly now, since the whole life is lifing and there's only so much time in the day and we have our priorities and blah, 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 it's the creative mindset that I find to be most helpful. You know, although I for sure I'm going to sing and dance today after our podcast, like 100%. I will. Last podcast we have, I was like practicing feeling good for a while. And I was just like, if I just knew it well enough to do it in my own key, or I could accompany myself, because it's just not quite where it for my voice, where I need it to sit.
Yeah.
The karaoke versions. But anyway, what was I even going off about? Like, the importance of the creative mindset.
Yeah. Well, I've done it. A way that I think I brought creativity into everyday life is like Halloween, right? Like my front yard, like I have a wild Halloween thing that I do for Halloween night and leading up to it. But that is kind of like a, you know, that's something I can do with kids around still. I mean, I modify it to a degree, but you know, I get music going with it and the lighting effects, and you know, it shows my theatrical whimsy clearly.
I like
on Halloween.
Yeah.
And they become, it's, I think Halloween, I used to always be like, yeah, I don't do anything Halloween, 'cause I scare kids on Halloween. That's what I do. That's what I do. That's my plan. The longer I have been out of doing regular creative work, the more important Halloween has become to me.
100%.
You know, I have never... 100%. Willow is 9 years old. This is her ninth Halloween.
Wow.
I have never gone trick-or-treating with her. Or Finn. And I don't even care. Because I stay home to scare other children.
Well, do they, and they have so much fun at home on Halloween.
Well, no, they go off with neighbors or my wife. My wife goes out. They go trick-or-treating.
Oh my gosh.
And I stay home to give. But part of my thing is like, well, someone has to stay home to give out candy. And so many of our neighbors are like, well, I got to go out. Both parents feel they have to go out with their kid. And so then, oh, great. So now there's like six empty houses here. And I'm the only one with candy. Like, there is a sacrifice that must be made on Halloween. Someone needs to stay home to hand out candy to the other neighbors that are coming around. I'm really glad
that you followed that up, because just the soundbite of there needs to be a sacrifice on Halloween.
There does. I mean, that is. It's a time sacrifice. Or you can split it up. One of you goes for so long, the other goes for. But I don't understand everyone leaving their house in a neighborhood to go walk around. Then there's no homes to go to. So that's only people with old that don't have kids that are home. So I sacrifice that time to stay home, to scare. Well, and also, I mean, I could go with my wife and she could hand out. Like, I don't scare them. I just open the door. Sometimes I'm in character, sometimes not. I used to dress up scary. And now I don't dress up scary because of my kids will be too freaked out. So I will sometimes just be like I was Maui 1 year.
Oh, fine. You know?
So I'm that, but the outside of my house is scary. I try to get them to see what it looks like, how it's made, so that they won't be scared. Like, but it doesn't help. They still get scared of it.
You said that, like, the crab song is just stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I want to learn that one too. I think it's really fun.
My wife is too much of a softy because I like to do things like give, oh, you didn't dress up in a costume. Oh, you get a mini candy bar. Everyone else gets full size.
Yeah, I would not do. That's mean. Like, you don't, what if their parents didn't give them a costume? They might not have money for a costume. They, now they
don't have you don't need money for a costume. It's called creativity.
Oh, Silas.
You don't just walk up. No, you're begging. That's just begging then.
Okay, well, that's funny, but also mean. Children beggars also need full-size candy. Well, yeah,
just be on the side. Do something.
Aww. Oh, so the rich...
Put a sheet on. You don't... I never bought a costume growing up. I never had a paid costume.
And you never got candy. Something.
No, I always got candy.
Did anybody withhold candy from you on Halloween?
Withhold candy?
Yeah.
No, because I was always dressed up.
Well, I had an especially sad Halloween, and if somebody did that to me, I would have been devastated. Yeah, I didn't think about that in a long time, so thanks for that joyful memory. Sure,
but now I even go, they get the choice of candy or potato.
Yeah, potato to throw at you.
No, some kids pick up potato. I have not given less than six potatoes now.
If you withheld the candy from somebody because they didn't have a costume and then you gave them a potato, you're just asking for
it. Well, so look, I wouldn't give them a potato. They would get nothing, first of all. Except, well, here's my rule. They do get something coming to mind.
Yeah, cold heart.
No, they could get a mini one because they have earned candy by just coming. Because I have a scary setup, I do feel like you earn it just getting to my door. I will not hand candy out to some sibling that is too scared to come up. They're like, oh, can I get some for my sister? Nope. They got to come up to get it. They will be proud. I used to, when I did that, before I did full size, I had mini, you know, and I would give out, like, I would get, if somebody came up in costume, they got two pieces of candy.
Yeah.
If they were dead or caused death, they would get three pieces of candy. If they came up but had no real costume or it was lame, they got one piece of candy.
If a ghost showed up at your doorstep.
Like what kind of ghost?
Well, you said if they were dead. So, I mean, like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Dead. Yeah. But like, yeah, like I was prepared to give four pieces out if somebody was extremely awesome. Like I did rate. I was rating candy. Yeah. I rated the kids. They didn't know.
I just. I don't. I have so many mixed feelings about this.
What?
I just.
Halloween, you should be dead.
I'm really going to side with Gretchen on this, like, obviously.
Look, you can take any lame costume and make it awesome by making them dead.
No, I just, you know what, though? But I don't like scary Halloween. I'm not a scary Halloween person.
Sorority girl costume. Dumb. Dead sorority girl costume. Hilarious.
You know,
hilarious.
I feel like that's such a misogynistic thing to say.
Farmer. Lame. Dead farmer. Hilarious.
It's
not about misogyny. It's about a lame costume.
Yeah, because you assumed that the farmer was a man then. I mean, I don't know. But
I said sorority girl. I could say fraternity guy. Fraternity guy. Lame costume.
You know, I just don't know how you would tell if it was a real frat guy or not, though, by the costume. Like, how could you tell? They could just be a frat kid.
Letters.
But letters could be like an actual frat kid.
Greek letters?
A frat kid could have Greek letters on them. Well, like a frat kid could be coming with their sibling.
Trick-or-treating?
They could go trick-or-treating. Yeah, man. Frat life is hard for some people, you know?
Be a dead frat.
Get enough pledgies and
alcohol frat. Poisoning or something. Be creative.
Okay, that one was a little bit. Oh, but that's also sad. I'm not into the dead thing for Halloween.
It's like literally in the name of it, right?
Yeah, but I'm a toddler friendly Halloween. How I like Halloween.
Gretchen is either a butterfly or a little cat ears or something, not too much.
Yeah.
Hey, I have done it now for my kids. I have been Hans.
Was for your kids or for you?
My kids. I've been Disney characters. I've been Olaf.
Aww.
I show up. I surprise. Last year I was Bowser. I surprised them. I try to surprise them with something for the year.
Well, that's fun.
But
I was never really big into Halloween. When I was really little, because what I'd love to do, this is going to be a big surprise, is I would like ration out my candy and I'd have my candy for like months. And then I'm pretty sure I would tease my siblings and be like, should have saved some of your candy. Like, but yeah, I would just like ration my candy out. And that's like half of the fun of it. It's like seeing how long can I make this candy last.
Yeah.
Now I'm actually excited to do. I do want to get more festive with Halloween. I'm probably not going to be that much more festive this year though, because it's already like the 17th or something. No, 16th. So 16. I'm not going to have like a super cool costume or anything. We'll see. I think my kid would be excited if I wear this. I thought it'd be fun. I actually would like to get matching costumes with her maybe next year, but this year, maybe I got this like, shark onesie, like, those like loungy pajamas people are
okay. Really, yeah.
For a while. Like I picked one up at a garage sale for $5 a couple of years ago and I never wore it. And I'm like, I should just wear that for Halloween. I don't have to buy a costume. We'll see. I don't know. Probably going to be low key. I got her two costumes though, and I'm very excited to see her.
Two?
Yeah. Because I got on Facebook Marketplace. They were like brand new, but somebody was selling them. And then they were selling for 25. But of course, I was like, I'm not going to ask for face value because we know I like to negotiate. So I asked if they would accept 20. And fortunately, they did. So now she has two awesome costumes. And I wanted to get costumes to match both of hers because they're so cute. But I was like, I'm not going to pay that price for my costume because they don't have my costume on Facebook Marketplace. And I'm not going to drop like $50 on one to wear for like a day.
Yeah.
Maybe next year, though. That's the name of this podcast episode. Maybe next year. Just kidding. I've said it so many times. Yeah. She got this really cute Supergirl one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that'd be so great. We could wear super outfits. That'd be cute. And then I got her one that is also like this green witch. It's not Elphaba, but it's like a green with like black spiders kind of thing on it. It's really cute. So
that's hilarious.
I'm excited. I was like, oh, I could just get myself like a, I could just get myself a witch's hat and then just, I have all black. So I could just pretend to be a witch too. Be like, there we match.
All right. We're about out of time here.
What are you going as this year? Or no, I'll wait. I'll wait and I'll find out.
You'll find out because I still have to decide. I might have to run to the store this week to find something, get inspiration.
Yeah.
My kids have lean costumes, so Ben's going to be a football player.
Okay.
Seahawk.
Okay, okay.
She's from a character from The Descendants.
Okay.
TV show. I'm like, yeah. Nothing I can dress up off of. Really? I mean, I have an idea, but we'll see if I do it. But yeah. But the creative space. Creative space. That's where we're creative. But we gotta go.
Yeah.
Speaking of creativity. I'm just looking for a creative exit.
Aren't we all? I don't know. I'm actually not. I'm planning to live to like I'm 136 at least. So.
Oh, you meant exit that way.
Yeah. And then I was like, I did. I was.
Well, that's Halloween. That's Halloween themed for sure.
That's true. Yeah, I just don't have much of a sense of humor about the dead. Like, I just don't. But you'd think maybe I would with some of the dark jokes I make.
But dead aren't funny.
I just would never insult. I would never presume to insult the dead. Nah.
I would never presume. They're very sensitive
and powerful, you know. I'm not looking to ruffle any tombstones, okay? Not.
All right, black and a half.
Black and a half.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half, Black and a Half, Black and a Half, Black and a Half, Silas, Samantha.